The Champions League is back, and Marcus Rashford does it again in Paris.
It's Rashford who just clicks through the gears, and he scores a wonderful goal from the right side of the penalty area into the far bottom corner of the net.
It was all about the kids at Barcelona with two 17-year-olds on the score sheet.
De Jong conducting and chipping over the top for Ansu Fati. How about that? It's a piece of magic from Ansu Fati. Pedri! On his European debut, it's a goal for the 17-year-old.
And Morata is magic as Juventus cruise past Dinamo Kiev.
The cross with promise and the second goal tucked away with a head by Morata from close range again. He has two and Juve have two, and that should be this match day one game put to bed.
There were also great wins for Lazio and Leipzig. The best analysis and reaction coming up on Match Day Live. Well, welcome along. I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to be looking back on a brilliant first night of action in the 2020-21 Champions League season. It's been barely 2 months since Bayern lifted the title in Lisbon, but we have returned. And tonight I'm joined by commentators John Bradley and Jonathan Beck. Hello, gentlemen. We've got European football expert Kevin Hatchard. Kevin, a great return to action.
I thought it was terrific. I thought the Paris-Manchester United game was intense and thrilling and full of great tactical schemes from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in particular. Saw Lazio's return to action after 13 years away from the group stage, and I thought they were fabulous against Borussia Dortmund. We saw shocks, Club Brugge winning away from home in dramatic circumstances, and some great goals too.
We have a tradition on the show with three-word match reports. So, John Bradley, you've been watching Paris Saint-Germain versus Manchester United. Want a three-match word report and a brief explainer as to why you've gone for that.
You don't need to know the explainer because it's simply, it's him again.
OK, we'll get on to Marcus Rashford very shortly. And Jonathan Beck was watching Barcelona against Ferencvaros. Your three-word match report, Jonathan.
Well, I suppose the obvious one is Koeman's winning start. But it could be, more likely, given how involved he was, Messi bounces back.
Love it. OK, we'll talk about as many of the eight matches as we can over the next half an hour. Let's start at the Parc des Princes, where last season's finalists, Paris Saint-Germain, took on Manchester United.
Forward to Martial, who goes down under the challenge of Diallo, and the referee has absolutely no hesitation at all in pointing to the spot. Keylor Navas on his line. It's Bruno Fernandes with a stuttering run-up with his right foot, and he just hits it straight at the keeper, who dives to his left and makes a really comfortable save. It's a weak, tame penalty. Potentially, we might be having a retake of the penalty kick because the goalkeeper may have stepped off his line. Bruno Fernandes with a straight run to the ball. Keylor Navas guessed right by going to the left. Again, the stuttering run-up. And again, the kick goes to the same place. This time, the goalkeeper goes the wrong way. And Manchester United, midway through the first half, have a dramatic lead. Neymar with the corner, right-footed in swing. Oh, it's in! It's an own goal by Anthony Martial. At the near post, he jumped to try and head the ball away. The ball hit him on the side of the head, and it goes into the far corner of the net. It's Rashford, who just clicks through the gears, and he scores a wonderful goal from the right side of the penalty area into the far bottom corner of the net. No chance at all for Keylor Navas, and Rashford, just as he did here 18 months ago, strikes late for Manchester United. Paris Saint-Germain 1, Manchester United 2.
And all that talent on the pitch, Marcus Rashford stood out with that brilliant individual goal to win the game late on for Manchester United. Bruno Fernandes, by the way, has scored 11 of his 12 penalties that he's taken for Manchester United in all competitions. What stands out to me is that United have had 12 penalties since January. But fair play to Bruno Fernandes for having that initial one saved. It was then deemed that Neves was off his line, and he stepped up to take it again and score confidently. John Bradley, if you had to describe the way Manchester United went about that game, what would you say?
It's 12 in 17 games, by the way, penalties. So Manchester United's mission to get a penalty in every game.
It's not bad.
No, it's pretty effective, isn't it? But, you know, there's no doubt about the penalty at all that was won for the foul by Abdou Diallo on Anthony Martial. And Manchester United set themselves up well. Remember, without Harry Maguire, no Eric Bailly. So they had defensive injury problems, they had selection problems. So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, it was a test of his coaching, a test of his management to find the right blend. He did so by turning to Axel Tuanzebe, a young player who he's turned to in times during his managerial reign at Manchester United and never been let down, and he wasn't again tonight. Super performance by him, a mature performance by him alongside Lindelof and Shaw, but also, you know, the fact that they have the likes of Pogba and Van de Beek on the bench, because he knows defensively and in terms of the work that they'll put in, that Fred and McTominay were best suited to that game. And he got a performance and a response from every single player in those white and black shirts tonight for Manchester United. But what they also had was a threat going forward. Alex Telles and his first start, super on the left-hand side, and Wan-Bissaka, a really good outlet from wing-back on the right. But then, of course, that little trio, the three amigos, as they could soon be known in Manchester, because Rashford, Martial are very, very well supported by Bruno Fernandes, who's a hugely intelligent footballer, and it gives them a whole new dimension to their attacking play. And they were very well set up, very well drilled. And this wasn't a smash and grab from Manchester United. This wasn't a defensive performance. Manchester United have beaten last season's runners-up at the Parc des Princes tonight because they fully deserved to beat Paris Saint-Germain in the Parc des Princes tonight. They attacked with style and with class, and they defended with a great resolute edge to them.
Memories of their win early in 2019 at the Parc des Princes. Let's hear from United's goalkeeper David De Gea.
Yes, to be honest, we just have good memories from Paris. Last time was amazing, and today we show it again that we are united. We can beat big teams like PSG. They defend top, especially against players like Neymar, Mbappe, Di Maria, so it's not easy. But they did great. We defend properly. They have some chances, but it's normal. We play against a top team. But I'm really proud of them, the whole team.
The team selection was interesting, Kevin, because I think you could look at it, and if things go wrong tonight, you go way too defensive. You know, you're Manchester United, you need to be more expansive. But I think Solskjaer, certainly away from home, and this is a massive win in a tough group with Leipzig and Istanbul Başakşehir, to win away at the toughest side in the group aside from yourselves. It was completely effective and the right call in every regard.
Yeah, and I'd say this is way better than the last win in Paris, to be honest, because obviously that was more meaningful in the sense that it was a knockout tie, but they took advantage of every error that Paris made, truth be told.
Yes, that's right.
And, you know, if Paris play anywhere near as well as they can, maybe that doesn't happen. I think John's right. This is a deserved win. And what I liked about it from Solskjaer's point of view is he had that five. He had the three at the back, which became a five when Telles and Wan-Bissaka came back and doubled up with the wide centre-backs. You had Luke Shaw coming out from the back three, causing all kinds of problems in midfield. And then when he realised that it was starting to go against them, when it was 1-1 and Paris was starting to combine, starting to dare, starting to play with a lot more speed in their game, which they lacked for a lot of the match, then he changed it. He brought on Paul Pogba and he said, OK, you've given me something to think about. Here's what you've got to think about. And Pogba was moving into spaces between the lines, and Paris was starting to think, we can't be as daring as we want to be now because we've got Pogba there. So it just changed the momentum a little bit. And then, because they applied that pressure in the second half, it put Paris under pressure and eventually tied them out, and eventually led to Rashford having the chance to score a magnificent winning goal.
I think it's also worth saying, Rob, as well, that you know, the heartbeat and the organisers of this Paris side and the success that they've had. Thiago Silva, of course, at the heart of the defence, and while the likes of Kimpembe have grown massively alongside them, taking him out is huge, and then taking Marquinhos out in front in that anchor role just in front of the Paris back four is absolutely massive, and that's where Manchester United played tonight. They got Bruno Fernandes into really good areas in and around there, and Danilo Pereira is still finding his feet, of course, at the Parc des Princes. But you know, while the likes of Bernat and Kerr and Verratti and Icardi and the likes were all out for Paris tonight, they won't use that as an excuse, because they still have, you know, unbelievable resources and a great depth of talent.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, John. Manchester United with a win tonight at Paris Saint-Germain. Meanwhile, in the same section, Kev, a quick one on Angelinho, the left-back on loan from Manchester City, scored both goals for Leipzig in a win against Istanbul Başakşehir, making their debut in the group stage of the competition. Brilliant goals from Angelinho, especially the first.
Yeah, he is Timo Werner Max 5, maybe, because, I mean, you look at what Julian Nagelsmann said when Timo Werner went to Chelsea was, OK, we are not going to find a replacement for Timo Werner like for like. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to share the goals around. We're going to have them from unusual sources. Angelinho has been scoring headers in the Bundesliga. He's 1.71 metres tall, so he's been doing that. His first goal was outrageous, and he's playing with massive confidence. And I think because they play him as a wing-back at times, I think that the defensive side of the game, occasionally he struggles with. Going forward, he's a real danger.
He got them the win tonight. OK, to the camp now next, as Ronald Koeman took charge of his first Champions League match as Barcelona head coach. They took on Ferencváros of Hungary.
Messi down the right-hand side, jinking away from Čivić, the left-back, jinking away from three others, and he goes down in the box, and the referee points to the spot. It's Messi against Ferencváros, and in it goes. Leo Messi has planted his penalty into the bottom right-hand corner. The keeper went the right way, but not quickly enough. It goes under his body, and Barcelona have the lead. De Jong conducting and chipping over the top for Ansu Fati. How about that? It's a piece of magic from Ansu Fati after a wonderful, magical ball from Frenkie de Jong. Messi still on the ball, so difficult to shrug off it. Fati flicks between his legs, and Coutinho! That's three. Beautifully crafted by Barcelona. Nguyen away from Gerard Piqué, and Nguyen wide. He wants a penalty. He's got a penalty, and it's a red card for Gerard Piqué. And Ferencváros score from the penalty. It's slotted by their Ukrainian midfielder, Igor Karatin. Messi to Ousmane Dembele, out on the right-hand side and quickly making ground and behind two. And can he pull it back? He does pull it back. Pedri! On his European debut, it's a goal for the 17-year-old. Wonderful goal for the youngster. Messi stopped in his tracks. It goes back to Busquets. Played through for Messi by Pedri. Messi waiting, finding Dembele. And it's five. And Barcelona have put the icing on the cake.
Well, what a night for Barcelona and Ronald Koeman. He'll be glad just to have that first European win under his belt. Of course, Barcelona with two 17-year-old goalscorers. Ridiculous. Barcelona's Ansu Fati, the first player ever to score more than one Champions League goal before turning 18. And he looks even younger than that when you see him pitch side being interviewed at the Camp Nou after the game. Brilliant for him after his goal against Inter last year, of course. And Jonathan Beck, our commentator, we heard him there, joins us now. Jonathan, I sense that, given the weekend defeat to Getafe, given the fact that Barcelona haven't looked brilliantly convincing in the Spanish league yet, that was a big win. They really needed that victory tonight.
Yeah, I think so. A statement victory. When you're opening up at home to against the side that comes out of pot four, I think you always need to win that game. Even though Barcelona have this ridiculous record of having reached at least the last 16 in each of the last 16 years, given, as you say, what has gone before, they needed to do a job. And plenty expected Ronald Koeman to actually start with many more of those youngsters than he actually did. Fati did start, but Pedri came off the bench. There was thoughts that, you know, maybe like
Ricky Puig and Junior Firpo and maybe even Carles Alena would start, but he did go with Messi, even though there's El Clasico in Madrid coming up at the weekend. And it's a sort of game that Messi could play himself into and give himself that confidence boost. I mean, how many Barcelona managers have you heard recently say, well, you know, right now Messi's performances could be better? Ronald Koeman said that yesterday. He qualified it and said, I don't have any complaints or doubts about his effort. But Messi certainly responded here. He scored the first from the spot. He set up with the official assist, the third and the fifth. And then he was involved in the other goals as well, either holding the ball up and waiting for someone to come and then provide the assist, or providing that initial break from which they then got the goals. It was just too good for Ferencváros, and it wasn't easy in the first 25 minutes before the penalty, because the Hungarians came here on a high, you know, picking up after 25 years at the Nou Camp and really giving it a go. But ultimately, they just didn't have more than that ball over the top to Nguyen, and Barcelona sussed that out pretty quickly.
For Barcelona tonight, of course, we mentioned their Fati scoring. Let's talk about Pedri, because he started the weekend in the number 10 position in that loss to Getafe. I wonder if he might be nudging his way into the plans for the Real Madrid game at the weekend. What kind of player is he, and what are you making of him? Because I don't think many, for the price and where he came from, are expecting Pedri to have had such an impact at Barca already.
No, exactly. And many thought he would actually start, you know, given his performance against Getafe. It was a disappointing defeat, but they're a difficult side to play against Getafe, yeah. And a difficult side to love too much, unless you're a Getafe fan when you watch them. But they make life difficult for sides, you know, and they've got that victory. But Pedri, on his full debut, stood out. He was a sub in the other game so far, but €5 million. And from a Spanish second tier side, not even from another Liga side, from Las Palmas, you know. And it would have been his European debut from the start. Maybe Koeman felt it was a step too far for him, but he had no qualms in bringing him on with, you know, nearly half an hour to go. And it was a really cool finish. He pulled away from the defenders that were swarming around Dembele and jinked away from the far post, gave himself space to put the ball in the corner, despite the touch from the goalkeeper. And yeah, 17 years old, an under 21 international already, he really could be a player to count on in El Clasico. Maybe not from the start just yet, but certainly in that kind of cameo role as a number 10.
A quick one on Ferencváros tonight, of course, because they returned to the Champions League after 25 years away, Jonathan, and that's come through. They kept first qualifying. I mean, it's a long way from the first qualifying round to the group stage. They did brilliantly, got past Molde in the playoff round. Did you see enough from Sergei Rebrov's side tonight to suggest they could, you know, cause problems for Juventus down the line, maybe nick third in the section?
It's difficult to say. They certainly caused problems when Barcelona went down to 10 men. Gerard Piqué sent off with 22 minutes to go for pulling back in Nguyen on his birthday, who didn't get the chance to take the penalty. But they had a little bit of time on the ball after that. The biggest problem, really, when you're playing Barcelona is having time and possession in their half. And Barcelona played such a high line. At times, Piqué and Clement Longley were playing like midfielders. They were so high up. They were on the halfway line. And the play was just squeezed. So all Ferencváros could do was hit balls over the top to Nguyen to try and chase down. When they had the extra man, they showed they could play football. They got it wide, they put balls in the box, and with a little more confidence, maybe when they are at home and in the national stadium rather than their own stadium, and they'll have fans in there as well to back them, around 20,000, I think, if calculations are correct, they will have the backing of supporters, and they maybe will be a little more confident. Whether they can, you know, run Juventus close and snatch third, I don't know, but that would be some achievement, really. I mean, they're living the dream just being here, and in a group, you know, with Rebrov's old love Dynamo Kiev as well, then, you know, there's plenty to look forward to, certainly.
Yeah, they were beaten earlier on in the day by Juventus by 2-0. Andrea Pirlo beginning his first ever Champions League campaign as a head coach with a victory in Ukraine. The hero, Kvaratskhelia, was Alvaro Morata. 2 goals for him. Do you think that will prove to be a smart move for Morata to go back to Turin and start playing his football? Because he looked like he had a lot of fun today.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's always been a player that needs to feel he has the confidence of the people around him. And at Juve, he does. You know, they know his qualities from when he's been there before. I thought the first goal, even though it's close range, you know, shot right into the roof of the net, it's a striker's goal because he just knows that that rebound's coming. You can see him on the move.
I liked that too, actually, because you see when the shot's coming in. I forget who has the shot from the edge of the penalty area. he's already thinking, I'm on a rebound. The defenders are not. And he was there to smash it.
And that's great. Yeah. And the second goal's nice as well. And I think it just gives them another option. They wanted a traditional number nine. He played well for Atletico, but not enough for that to be seen as something that worked out really well. So I think this is something that could suit everybody. Juve deserved to win the game, made enough chances to win it. And I think for Andrea Pirlo, who, let's not forget, is a rookie coach, to win his first Champions League game is very important.
Of course, Juventus without Cristiano Ronaldo after he tested positive for COVID-19. But we hope he'll be available next Wednesday for the Messi-Ronaldo group stage game in the Champions League. They take on each other in the group stage. Barcelona, Juve, and you can hear full commentary on Match Day Live. Let's go to Group E. Chelsea began their campaign at home to Europa League winners Sevilla with a goalless draw. It's Frank Lampard's first 0-0 draw since taking over at Chelsea. That's not really a surprise, to be honest. Here's what he had to say afterwards.
Happy because Sevilla are a very good team. Very good team, and they've shown that. Playing the Super Cup against Bayern Munich recently, they won the Europa League last year, worked together a long time, have a lot of threats in their team and a way of playing that's difficult to play against. So I love the defensive side of our game. I thought we were very good. We want a bit more in an attacking sense, but I think where we're at now, that's two good teams playing against each other. We knew it would be a difficult contest today. It's a very tough match for us to open the group. We wanted to win, but as I say, we can accept the point.
Yeah, I suppose a lot of players, Kev, are just trying to find their way, because you saw the likes of Chilwell, Thiago Silva, Havertz, Werner, Edouard Mendy back from injury, all making their Champions League debuts for the club. And you could see Sevilla looked a more cohesive team for me tonight in West London.
Yeah, Mandy made a terrific save as well, actually. So that will do his confidence no end of good. I think for Chelsea, they'll take the clean sheet. Because at the moment, you look at how they played against Southampton in the English Premier League at the weekend. They gave away some horrible goals from their point of view. We know what they can do going forward. Sevilla are a very, very strong team. We saw that in the UEFA Europa League as they won the tournament yet again. And they are so well drilled by Julian Lopetegui. So I think they'll take that. You know, a draw against Sevilla right off the bat, they will feel... You know, Ren and Krasnodar are a decent sides, but Chelsea will feel they should go through. A lot of work to do, of course, but this is a positive step for them, I feel.
Hakim Ziyech coming back from injury. He did come off the bench for Chelsea tonight. He says he wasn't surprised by the quality of their La Liga opposition.
It was a difficult game, and we knew before the game that Sevilla is just a really good team. They have quality on the ball, and you know... they win last year the Europa League, and they was in the Super Cup final. So we knew that they had a lot of quality, and you know, you see they are on the ball, they are really well.
Chelsea have drawn 5 of their last 8 Champions League home matches. In the same section, 2 debutants playing each other. That's very unusual because of the seeding in the competition. But Rennes took on Krasnodar, 1-1. Seyra Girassi with a penalty 10 minutes after the restart. Well taken. Rennes' first goal in Champions League football. Christian Ramirez with an absolute banger before the hour to level the game for the Russian side. Not a bad start for both sides. They'd probably take that to get things going, would they?
I think Rennes might be disappointed, because I think they know that if they are going to go through or have a chance of going through, the home games are going to be critical. And that's a few games in a row now for them, having started the season so, so well, where they've drawn games. You look at Girassi's chance right at the end, they'll feel they just could have snuck them. So it's the difference between a good result and a great result.
Krasnodar without a number of key players, including the likes of Wanderson and Ari, and their head coach, Murad Mazayev, who had a sore throat and had to stay at home on their Champions League debut. To Group F. OK, Dortmund, Kev. 3-1 loss at Lazio. What happened for Borussia Dortmund tonight? Because, as usual, they look like a mixed bag this season.
They made a bad start and they never recovered. The first goal is the key. Thomas Meunier in the right-back area is put under pressure. Instead of going down the line, he goes infield. Because he goes infield, that allows Lucas to get a touch of the ball, a very typical Lucas thing to do in midfield. He's made a whole career out of it. And it proved to be a critical intervention, because the ball rebounds to Joaquin Correa. Lovely ball into Ciro Immobile against his former club, and a great finish from close range. Then a set piece, and Dortmund have had these problems for several seasons now under Lucien Favre. They switch off at set pieces, the ball's drilled into the near post. Luis Felipe, who was a doubt for the game with injury, gets a flick on it, only a tiny flick, might have been going wide, might not have, but it comes off the gloves of Marvin Hitz, the goalkeeper at close range, and rebounds into the net. They had chances to get back into it. They scored a fabulous goal, Dortmund. Gio Reyna, who came on at half-time, lovely low ball into the area. And Erling Haaland, just... You made the point off-air, and I think it's absolutely right, a Zlatan-esque goal.
He just hammers it.
Left-footed, brilliant goal into the net. But then the story of the night, which is Jean-Daniel Akpa-Akpro, who is a guy who's 28. He was signed from lower league Salernitana. He's never played in European football before. With his first goal attempt in Europe, he scores. And it's joyful moments like that that make you fall in love with football all over again.
Great night for Lazio. Great night for Immobile. Didn't happen for him as Dortmund. He scored against them tonight. Lazio back in the Champions League after 13 years away. In the same section, how about this? Club Brugge, I think it was the 94th minute when Charles de Cattelaret scored a winner near post against Zenit and gave them a 2-1 win in St. Petersburg. OK, let's go back to the main match of the night. Manchester United's 2-1 win over Paris Saint-Germain. We can hear from the home side's head coach, Thomas Tuchel, ruing a poor performance.
First half was, yeah, we were simply not on the pitch. It'd be easy in more or less everything what we can play. It was not our level. I don't know why, but I can just say it was not our level in moving the ball, in possession, in counter-attack, in challenges, in intensity. No, it was by far. Was by far one of our worst games, one of our worst first halves, clear.
The thoughts of Thomas Tuchel there after Paris Saint-Germain's defeat tonight. OK, tomorrow night, big games, including Bayern versus Atletico. Kev, you can answer one on that in a moment. First, John, you'll be commentating on Ajax versus Liverpool. Liverpool without Van Dijk.
Yes, I think it's the headline story across much of Europe at the moment, isn't it? The injury that he sustained in that challenge with the England goalkeeper Jordan Pickford against Everton at the weekend. Could be out for anything between 6 and 12 months is the estimate at the moment. So, big opportunity for Ajax, of course, who have done great things in this competition in the past couple of seasons. A new look Ajax now, but obviously that hole that Van Dijk leaves will give them every fillip to go on and get the 3 points in the Amsterdam Arena. A shame, because it would have been a wonderful atmosphere if we'd had supporters in there.
Yeah, I think it's a tough test. There's no question about that for Liverpool. I think Ajax are not the team they were, but they still have quality. And it's one of those games where Liverpool should win the game. But if they're anywhere below their best, Ajax have the kind of players who can punish them. And they look good against Heerenveen at the weekend.
Not the team they were, but a team that is getting better, I would say, Kevin, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think that's a fair shout.
We have extended updates of that game tomorrow night on Match Day Live. We have full match commentary of Bayern versus Atletico. Bayern without Serge Gnabry for that one after testing positive for COVID-19. And the early kickoff, we have full match commentary of Real Madrid taking on Shakhtar Donetsk in Group B in that section with Inter and Gladbach. What a great night it's been. Manchester United with a huge win at Paris Saint-Germain. That's all we've got time for. Thank you very much for listening. And remember to join us from 6:30 p.m. CET every single Champions League match night for live commentary and analysis, and download our podcast shortly after every single match night using your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.